All right. Well, we always start this part of our service reminding ourselves that God is looking at our hearts. He's not really listening to our voices. And I know some of you have got great voices, and some of you are like me, and you're very grateful for that. But we always start by reminding ourselves that coming here with a worshipful attitude, that means an attitude that looks up and is seeing God compared to everything else and realizing, I'm here just to bow down and acknowledge who you are and just to let you know I feel your love and I'm loving you back and you mean more than anything else. This is what worship is. And so today I'm going to ask Charlie just to share with us why you're here to worship and what you're grateful to God for.
Well, there's a lot to be thankful for, and I just think of the goodness of God to this church, and I'm going to start by saying the goodness of God to spare Bill's life. Now, I can assure you I don't have this microphone to say that, but I want to say that anyway because I am so grateful, as I know you are. But, you know, I have begun several months ago working in a book that Sean and Bill wrote that had one scripture for every week and going through that for a number of months. And the first scripture that was in that book was also the scripture of the sixth day that we've had this week. And that's Jesus saying to the disciples, Peter and Andrew, come to me, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And meditating, I love this, the principles that we're going through with these books that we started last week of having one verse a day to meditate on. And the meditation, there are so many levels to knowing God and to enjoying him. And just to think, you know, he says, come. And just as he said that to those disciples, he's bending low and asking us to come. Myra and I have 18 grandchildren and 3 grandchildren that are not ours, but they still call us Paps and Mimi. Well, one is a 2-year-old, beautiful little blonde-headed girl with blue eyes. Her name is Breland. And when Breland comes to our house almost every week, we bend low. We bend low to make that contact with Breland. We bend over. Does she come every time? No, but she does come because we bend low. And so, you know, I go back to that verse, Matthew 4:19, and that is to come. Jesus is saying to those disciples, come, but he's saying to me, come. He's saying it to you, come. And I think of the depths of that he is bending low to say, come to me. And so I use that verse every day when I'm having my quiet time, when my time in quietness with my Bible and just sitting there and just to rehearse this verse again. Jesus is asking me to come, and I am coming to him. And he meets me there. And then the next level is, of course, as we work through these verses, is following him. And you think, what all is he meaning when he says, follow me? What's he saying to me on a regular basis of following him? And what does he have in store for us? And there are so many levels to knowing God and who he is and knowing what he has for me and what he wants to teach me and how he wants to change me. And I'm just so grateful. Let me encourage you. all to take advantage of these books, to have us handed a single verse a day to meditate on and take some time. Just meditate on that verse. It's so rich to do it that way and think of all the different things that are in that verse and what they have for us. But anyway, it's been life-changing for me, and I know it has for you all too. And I just want to thank you for that, but thank you for the goodness of God.
Well, thank you, Charlie. And I want to ask you one more question here while you're there. I know your enthusiasm, but what I really want to ask you there because you've been a Christian a long time, and God has worked in your life for a long time and taught you many, many things, and you've grown in Christ-like character and your ability to serve Him. But even taking this little step of saying, I am going to really slow down, clear everything away, and I am going to seek to understand what God is trying to tell me, and really search and dig for that, and then to respond to what He reveals to you. What has that done in your relationship to Christ?
Yeah. Well, it's been, as I said, it's been life-changing, and to know the intimacy that we can have in knowing Him. And there are so many levels of knowing Him and the depth, and there's things He's peeling away out of my life and adding to my life. And I'm not sure I can give you that answer exactly, but it's been wonderful. It's been so different because of the meditation of these one verses. It's so simple, yet there is so much depth there. I mean, I might have read that verse in the past and say, okay, He called them, this is all about Simon Peter and Andrew. But when you start to think about His calling me and wanting that intimate relationship with me, I'm not sure good. What you were asking me, but that's
good, and I appreciate that. Thank you. As He was talking, it caught my mind because it's really a lot like Nicodemus. Jesus couldn't answer that same question I asked you. Nicodemus said, "How can this be? How can what God is thinking and doing be in the reality of where I live?" And Jesus said, "Well, you know, it's like the wind. You know it's coming. You can see where it comes. You can see where it goes. But you can't really understand how that's happening. But God can reveal these things to you." And that's the part of having a relationship with Christ that is different from being like Nicodemus, who was a great Bible teacher. When he spoke, people stopped and they listened. He knew the Bible backwards and forwards, and he taught it, but he didn't understand how it could bring him to Christ. I love that scripture that we had. You diligently study the scriptures because you believe in them, you have eternal life. That was Nicodemus. But those scriptures, those very scriptures testify about me, but you refuse to come to me. Well, Nicodemus did come to him. He came to him at night so he could be alone. He came to him at night so there was a crowd where they could have an individual one-on-one conversation. Because he wanted to know, and he didn't want all the crowd and everyone around and Jesus talking to everyone there. He wanted to understand what Jesus said. And it took a long time for us down here to understand what He's communicating up here. But we know from the end of the story, He searched and found it. But He found it because He started digging into finding out what could God be meaning by this. And it was revealed to him spiritually, not in black and white academically. So let's just pray. Father, we are here today because Jesus Christ died to reconcile us to You. The God who promises to lead us along the best pathway for our life, who promises to be there to advise us and to watch over us. And Lord, we don't want to be like a senseless horse or mule that has to have a bit and bridle in our mouth so that you can tug and try to force us into the place. We want to understand you and to be guided by your eye. We want to be able, like Moses, to know your ways and to follow you. And we know that we have to come to you. So right now, we come to you in worship. And all the things in our life that are distractions, we're letting them fall away. And we are looking to you to celebrate and to remind ourselves and to have you reveal a little more to us what a great God you are. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.